Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Genesis. It's on page 16 in your pew Bibles, and we read Genesis 18, verses 17 through 19. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him, to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. This is the word of the Lord." Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Colossians. It's found on page 1260 in your pew Bibles. And we read Colossians 2, beginning at verse 6. "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, which is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith, in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in question of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. This is the word of the Lord." The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, page 1111 in your pew Bibles, and we read Luke 11, beginning at verse 1. "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples.' And he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we for ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.' And he said to them, 'Which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet, because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for today. The answer that Jesus gave to his disciples when they asked him to teach us how to pray. And in particular, the first line of the Lord's Prayer, Luke has it as, Father, hallowed be your name. Matthew had, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. One of the things that we sometimes fail to appreciate is things that we do over and over and over again. In your own mind, I'd like to ask you, for you to ask yourself the question, how many times have you said the Lord's Prayer in your life? Once a Sunday? Maybe some of you use it in devotional life on a daily or weekly basis. I'm going to guess for most of us, it's in the thousands of times that we've said that prayer. And so when you do something over and over again, it's easy to fully appreciate everything that is part of this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven. Well, there are other religions that will occasionally use the concept of God being Father. For the most part, they leave that in the realm of, if you will, the fact that he's the creator of the world. Some religions will even call him both the Father and the Mother. But the way that we as Christians use our Father is different. Muslims won't even use the name Father to address God. In the Quran, there is a passage which speaks of the 99 beautiful names that God has. 99 names. Father's missing from that list. Why? Well, they consider it to be, if you will, undignified. God is so high above us. And so great and so glorious that to address him, if you will, with a cozy term would just not be right. We just don't say Jesus is Father. We pray our Father who art in heaven. Because through Jesus, we know that, if you will, God wants to be cozy with us. in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. God wanted to be so cozy that he takes on our human flesh to wear for all eternity. How much closer can you get to somebody than taking on their flesh itself for the rest of your days? Martin Luther got it right when he wrote the Small Catechism and the First Petition. God tenderly invites us to address him as dear children address their dear father. And even within the context of our gospel lesson for today, Jesus makes that relational aspect, that coziness clear. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God wants us to see our relationship to him even closer than what a relationship is between a loving father and loving children. Now, as to the goal of being a father and understanding what that means, what is the job of a father? Is it to rule over his children? I tried that, didn't work. Oh, when they were little, I disciplined them. But not with the idea that I was going to rule over them for the rest of their lives. That's not what parenting is about, for fathers or mothers. No, what is the job of a father? It's to raise them up so they know how to receive the blessings that a father can give to children. From our earthly point of view, to raise them up so that one day everything we have, we can give to them, even if they don't want it. To take the things that we have accumulated in life, and if you will, leave it behind for them. It's not to rule. It's to love and to give. That's the job of a parent. That's the job of a father. And that's how God wants us to see us in relationship to him. Not as our ruler and Lord, though he is that. But he wants us to see us in relationship to him as loving children see their relationship to their earthly fathers. Our Father who art in heaven, holy be your name. Now, while we've been comparing earthly fathers and heavenly fathers to this point, there's one major difference between earthly fathers and our heavenly father. And Jesus pointed it out in those verses I read just a few minutes ago. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I've tried to be a good father. And there's many times in my life I've mucked it up. See, sometimes my children's welfare wasn't always uppermost in my mind. It was getting a good night's sleep. Or it'd just been a rough day and I didn't want to be bothered, even though they might have needed me. And if you talk to my kids, they can name about 10,000 other circumstances in which I wasn't always the best father. Because bottom line, I, like you and everybody else we know, am a sinner. Selfishness sometimes rules our lives. Bitterness, anger. We are not holy. God is. His love for us is always perfect. His love for us knows no boundaries. And how do we know this? Well, not only did he send his son to take on human flesh and to live among us, but he had his son suffer the pains of the cross. And even more pain than that, as Jesus is dying on the cross, God turns his back on him. And he suffers, if you will, the pangs of hell. That our evilness, our sins, our rebellion against our own Father might be punished in the person of Jesus Christ and those sins paid for. So that when Jesus then rises from the dead, we who have been united with him in our baptisms may also rise with him in forgiveness and in a holiness like our Father's. Not because we ourselves have been holy, but because he has given us his holiness as a free gift through Christ. Because in baptism, all those sins that we carry with us each and every day have now been completely washed away in his sight. God wants to listen to us. And when God hears our prayers, he always answers in a way that is best for us. There's nothing that we owe him or need to pay him for giving to us and providing us for us. Because in reality, God doesn't need us. If he destroyed you today, he could make another 20,000 just like you. He doesn't. Because he loves you, he loves me, and all he wants for us is a good life with him forever. You know, as Jesus was preparing his disciples for his departure from this earth, he told them, I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again and take you to be with me in my Father's house. My Father's house is many rooms. You know, in that way, God also is different from earthly fathers. I didn't mind when my kids grew up and moved away a little bit. They all got their own houses now. That's not the way God is with us. He's got a house prepared for us, but it's the house where he lives, and he's just going to make an extra room for you and for me, that we might be one family forever and ever. What an amazing God we know through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through his death on behalf of us, for through his taking on of our human flesh, that not only God might be our Heavenly Father, but he might also be our brother, our friend, as we sang just a few moments ago. So the next time you go to God in prayer and you say, perhaps as a closing prayer, this model prayer that God has given us, remember what you're saying when you say, Our Father. No matter how God answers your prayer, you need to be confident that this is what's best. Not just for you individually. God may be thinking about others around you. But God wants to give you good things. So ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be opened. Why? Because we have our Father who art in heaven, and holy is his name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.